And this is one of those weeks where I realize there's a bunch of great games, and we're going to talk about those and preview them. But I'm going to spend a lot more time on the touchdown tee because it is piping hot today.
Casey is feeling it today. We've got some great 4 o'clock games. We're talking about the touchdown tee. Casey's going off. Stay tuned. And we're picking our favorite fantasy football name. So let's get into it. I'll show you. Welcome to the Dime Package presented by Barstool Sports. I'm Fran, joined by my co-host Casey Smith. We're ready to jump into week 3 of the NFL. Casey, how are we doing?
We are doing, Fran. I can't believe it's already week 3. I feel like we just started this podcast yesterday.
I know. We're already deep into it, I feel like. I love it. We're getting a rhythm. I love doing this show. It's fantastic.
We did a photo shoot yesterday. I hated every single photo. I'm just going to get out in front of that. But we potentially have a new logo coming. That's also exciting.
Yes. I woke up to a text from Casey being like, I hate every picture. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
She actually responded, like, oh, no. And I was like, listen, I hand
there's
up.
There's got to be one.
There is a couple that we have agreed on. I just happen to look like a troll. And I'd like to get out in front of it. I hate every single one.
I truly believe it's impossible for you to look like a troll, but I understand. It's different when you're looking at the picture yourself. So as long as we agree on a new photo, we're going to do it. If not, I guess we're going to have to do it all over again.
No. We'll agree. There are a couple that are serviceable, okay? You look fantastic, fire, flames, and I look like a troll. Maybe that's the new dynamic of the podcast. It's Beauty and the Beast. It's no longer the Dime Package. It's Beauty and the Troll.
Oh, my God. Stop it right now, Casey.
Okay, fine. All right. Let's talk about football.
Yeah. Let's talk about football. Let's get into our on-field five for this week. We got some great games, the late games I'm really excited for. Let's get into the first game that we are looking forward to. That is the Las Vegas Raiders at New England Patriots. It's a 1 o'clock game. The 2-0 Raiders are coming into New England. I'm excited for this. The Raiders, I think, surprised a lot of people Monday night against the Saints, and I hope they put up a great fight against the Pats.
Yeah, I'm excited, too, because I think that the Patriots are going to be coming back with not even a little bit of a vengeance. It was just they didn't finish the game the way that they probably would have if Tom Brady was there, so they're going to come back and want to bounce back. But you're right about the Raiders. I mean, Derek Carr is having a hell of a season. I know it's only 2 weeks, but remember when Derek Carr got paid a few years ago? And I don't know exactly what year that was, because it could have been 20 years ago at this point, because 2020 has been 20 years. And everyone was just freaking out. Like, why does Derek Carr deserve this big of a contract? Well, this year, he finally looks like he deserved that big of a contract. And I don't know if it's because they're in Vegas now. Maybe he's getting a little spicy because he's in Vegas. But he's playing really well. He's over 500 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions through 2 weeks.
I think it's been pretty hard for my, he's dealt with a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. He's gotten paid. Maybe he's finally feeling really great. He's feeling healthy because he looks great. And on top of that, you know, we got Josh Jacobs playing well and Darren Waller is showing off basically.
Yeah.
He was unstoppable against the Saints. So I hope he continues on that journey because I'm a fan of him. I'm a fan of him after, you know, we watched the Raiders Hard Knocks 2 years ago and kind of got to hear more of his story and how his return to football was unexpected. And it's really great that he's playing so well. I also want to say that Gruden called Cam Newton. He says he's got a nickname for Cam Newton. Do you want to guess what it is?
No, because nothing that I guess will be as good as what Gruden actually said. So I'm not even going to try.
He said, I call him Slam. Slam Newton. He's a power forward playing quarterback. I love it.
It's such nobody's a dad like, joke.
Nobody's like Gruden. It's
nobody.
Fantastic.
Nobody's like him. And he, you know, the dad jokes hit different when they come from Gruden. They really do.
Yeah.
Slam Newton. You know what? I'm buying in. Slam Newton it is. Sold.
I like it. It's fitting. I like it. Now, here's another question. Will Gruden wear a mask this week? Because we saw some absolutely insane fines. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to these teams and their coaches for not wearing masks. So you would think that hopefully they get the message that, you know, wear your mask.
if you don't wear a mask and you got fined last week, you're basically saying, fuck you, I have fuck you money and I don't care. I'm going to go ahead and assume that everybody that got in trouble will be wearing a mask. I think the total was over $1 million, right? Which is insane.
It was insane.
Like, we live in New York, so we're very big mask people. You can't go anywhere without a mask here. But also, every single person on that sideline has been tested for the virus. So it's not like there's a question if the fan, there's no fans for most of these games. But beside the point, if you got fined for not wearing a mask and you show up not wearing a mask again this week, that's a middle finger to Roger Goodell and really just the coronavirus itself, which we should all give the middle finger to the coronavirus and Roger Goodell.
Yeah. it's going to be interesting because I wonder if like the fines will increase if it continues to happen and they just, you know, like, oh, well, this is your third week in a row. Guess what? $200,000. So it's crazy. All right. The second game is the LA Rams at the Buffalo Bills. Another 1 o'clock game. 2-0 teams, baby. Let's go. I'm excited for the Goff, Josh Allen matchup here. Josh Allen was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week last week. So this could be a kind of a hot lights out offensive game.
Yeah, and it's surprising to me, again, we're only through 2 weeks, but that the Bills are unbeaten. I think the Bills are sneaky, sneaky good in the AFC East this year, which I can't believe I'm saying, because the New England Patriots are also there. So I feel like when you look at the Bills team, you always it's the Buffalo Bills. This year, I think it's legitimate. And then we've seen the Rams play very well through the first 2 weeks. And so I love the quarterback matchup between these two young guys. I still cannot believe that the Bills are even in this conversation. So I have to take the Rams here, Fran, because I really like what that offense is doing. Their defense has looked really good. And it's just the Bills. I can't believe I'm saying I think the Bills might win the AFC East this year. I can't believe it.
You know what? And I forgot to ask you for the previous game. I'm just assuming you were taking the Patriots. I was also taking the Patriots.
I'm taking the Patriots. I'm riding with the Patriots.
Okay.
It's one of my teams. You know this.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm kind of buying into the Bills right now. Like you said, it's early, but I'm picking the Bills this week. I'm excited to watch this game. The one thing that I think they could get torched, we'll see if they make some adjustments. The Dolphins tight end had 130 yards and a touchdown against the Bills last week. Now, if they if they can allow that kind of game for Tyler Higbee, it's going to be a struggle because we watched Tyler Higbee go off against the Eagles. He had 3 touchdowns. It was unbelievable. So
here's my question for you, Fran.
There's definitely some big stops they got to make. Yes.
Do you think that the Eagles defense is trash or that the Rams offense is good?
The Eagles defense is playing currently like trash. So I do think that but it's kind of both. Like the Rams offense is great. But I also think that the Eagles defense, it looks a little lackluster. They're just the fight like isn't there right now. I don't know if it's losing Malcolm Jenkins. He was such a leader on that defense and now he's gone. So anyway, that's besides the point. I'm picking the Bills. The third game, the Dallas Cowboys at the Seahawks, 4:25. The 4 o'clock games are, I think, going to be really exciting. There's a bunch of really great games. You got the 1-1 Cowboys. We know they just came off that incredible win against the 2-0 Seahawks. Dak versus Russell Wilson. I'm excited. This is going to be a great game.
Yeah, it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be an offensive shootout for both sides. We saw Dak Prescott last week against the Falcons put up 450 yards. Again, I think that game, getting the Cowboys win, is more about the Falcons just being cursed. But at the same time, I mean, that offense in Dallas is firing at all cylinders. And then the Seahawks, and we've talked about this enough, I mean, what Russell Wilson is doing is unbelievable. And I think that they are a force to be reckoned with, which they usually are. But Russell Wilson just looks at a completely different level than he's even looked in the past couple years, which is hard to say because he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I just don't know if I believe in this Cowboys team enough to beat a legitimate Seahawks team, because we talked about the Rams, and against the Rams, Dallas played well. Against the Falcons, they stunk, and they happened to end up, I say that Dak Prescott had 450 yards, but they had all those turnovers in the first half. It all came down to a fluky onside kick, where Seattle looks unstoppable. So I'm going to take the Seahawks here because I think that they are a legitimately really good team. We need to see what Dallas can do against a really good team, not the Atlanta Falcons.
Exactly. We saw kind of a bad game that turned into great luck. And if the Cowboys want any chance against the Seahawks, they got to play a full game. You can't just play the fourth quarter. So it's going to be fun to watch. I also like the kind of Jamal Adams storyline mm-hmm. here following that. You know, he's now on the Seahawks, but we know that he really wanted to play for the Cowboys and that didn't happen. So he's playing against his hometown team. And I'm also picking the Seahawks. I picked the Cowboys last week. It worked out for me. I refuse to pick them 2 weeks in a row. So
you know what? I can stand behind that. And also Jamal Adams, like, you know, we are a pro petty podcast. This is a petty spot for him because he can come out and be like, well, I wanted to be in Dallas. I'm not. I'm just going to torch you. So I love when players get to do that. That's like my favorite part about professional sports is that you don't get to choose where you go, where you do in college. You don't get to choose in the pros, but you very clearly know where you want to deep down in your heart. And if you don't get to go there, you're then petty for the rest of your career. I'm here for it.
Yep, definitely. And last thing I want to mention about this game, and it's just to do with Dak. I loved seeing that clip last week after the Falcons game of Hayden Hurst going up to Dak and mm-hmm. giving him a little, you know, proud of you for what you're saying and speaking up on mental health. And, you know, he said, me and my mom, we have our charity for suicide prevention. And it was just a really nice moment and a big fuck you to Skip Bayless.
Yeah, well, always fuck you to Skip Bayless. But it is cool to see. We talked about this, you know, in the first podcast with Dak Prescott kind of opening that door for mental health to be discussed in the NFL. And I'm sure yep. behind closed doors, it's been spoken about, especially with teammates who are close. But now it's becoming a normalized thing where you're seeing these massive football players, these grown ass yeah. men talking about mental yep. health in front of national TV cameras. And that's exactly what should be the case. I mean, mental health exactly. should be spoken about more and more. And so I like to see the human being side of these guys as opposed to just the competitors on the field.
Yep, exactly. It was a great moment to see. Fourth game is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Denver Broncos. Another 4 o'clock game. The 1-1 Bucks, Casey's other team.
Oh no, just the man, Fran. Just the man, Fran.
Just the man. Yep, just Tom Brady. Tom Brady is playing the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are 0-2. We know Drew Locke is hurt, and we also know that the Broncos just signed Blake Bortles to a 1-year deal. Mm-hmm. He's coming in the boat. As of right now, he is going to be the backup to Jeff Driscoll. We'll see what happens. I am fully expecting Blake Bortles to be the starting quarterback of the Broncos coming very soon.
If Blake Bortles doesn't play in this game or doesn't start very soon, we're rioting. Blake Bortles needs to be starting for the Denver Broncos. They're hurt across the board. Like you mentioned, Drew Locke. They had Von Miller before the season even happened, got injured. They're just across the board injuries.
Cortland Sutton now is gone.
Everybody's hurt in Denver. Give the people what they want. Start Blake Bortles. If it's a Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, Buccaneers Broncos game on Sunday, I'll be screaming from the rooftop. That is Barstool storyline to a T.
I love it. I hope it happens. I'm not quite sure. The only thing that is, I think, making it not a possibility is I'm not quite sure with like the COVID testing. When he comes in, it's like he's got to get tested and there's a certain timeline. I'm not sure what the timeline is for him to be allowed to play. They said that Driscoll will be starting on Sunday. But if he's allowed to, I don't see why something couldn't happen if all of a sudden, you know, the Bucks are up big and they say let's put in the boat.
I don't want to wish anybody to play badly because that's just hateful and petty and mean, although we do like petty. I hope that Driscoll yep. plays like absolute shit right out of the gates if Blake is allowed to play, just so Blake Bortles can come in the game. If you're the Denver Broncos at this point, like, and I know it's early, so you can't put a season completely to bed, you can't bury them yet. The Broncos are not winning anything this year. No. It's not happening.
They're already talking about Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, like the tank for Trevor, whatever. Like, this is, you signed Blake Bortles to a 1-year deal. You play Blake Bortles. And on the flip side, you're playing the Bucks, who just came off of a great win. Tom Brady looked just fine, like I knew that he would. You're not going to beat the Buccaneers. You might as well just throw Blake in and see what he can do. Give the people what they
yep.
want.
Yep. I think that means we're both picking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win this game.
Yes. And I would like to mention, I'm still beefing with Bruce Arians. He better not say some shit after the game like he did last week. Even though he called Tom Brady outstanding, it was tongue in cheek, I believe. He didn't mean it.
Bruce, you're on notice, pal.
Go, Tom, go.
Yep. All right, the last game, the Green Bay Packers at the New Orleans Saints. This is our Sunday night football game. You got the 2-0 Packers heading into the Saints that are 1-1 coming off that Monday night football loss. Devontae Adams is a question mark if he's playing. Michael Thomas as well. We know he's had that ankle injury. Drew Brees, it's been tough because there's a lot of people are questioning Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if he's got it, if he's, you know, now on the decline, if he's heading towards the exit door. And that's kind of the opposite of Aaron Rodgers. You know, people had some doubt, but Aaron Rodgers is showing them that he's still an elite quarterback. So,
yeah,
if that's the case, Packers, baby.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Aaron Rodgers in the episode earlier this week. Shout out him on the field, not in bed. Allegedly. I don't have any experience with that. But, you know, we talked earlier about the Rams and the Bills, how it's the young quarterbacks versus each other. This is one of those games where it's really fun to watch because it's, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is what, like 36? So he's not old. But Drew Brees is 41. And the question right now is Drew Brees old? I mean, we look at Tom Brady at 43. That's always a conversation starter and it's a narrative going in every season. But is Drew Brees getting old? Is he on the decline? And that is something through 2 weeks that is a legitimate conversation. Yeah. Whereas Aaron Rodgers, to vet quarterbacks, looks the complete opposite, like you said. So their trajectory look like they're going completely different. So I'm excited to see this game play out. The Saints did not look great to me last week, and I was actually surprised. Yeah. And it goes back to, you know, the question about Drew Brees. So I'm going to go with the Packers as well, because Aaron Rodgers looks, and I keep saying, unstoppable. Somebody's going to stop one of these guys eventually. But Aaron Rodgers is playing lights out.
He absolutely is. And just like we talked about week two, you know, the combination of him and Aaron Jones, they've been pretty deadly together. So it seems like I'm with you. I'm taking the Packers. I think that
Wizards, right?
One, yep. He's a wizard out there is what he said. So
here for it.
That is true. Yep, exactly. And I'm sure we will see some wizardry on the field in New Orleans. All right. I hope we are on track with our time. I'm not quite
we never know.
Sure. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I try to look at the clock and I'm not positive. But at this point, I just want to give the show a quick little rub with our Roman swipes. The Roman swipes are the secret to longer lasting sex and also maybe a longer lasting
I mean,
podcast. We swipe these shows and we don't need to.
Yeah, no, because in the bedroom, you don't want to think about football. When you're listening to this podcast, you do want to think about football. That's what we do here. Yep. But you don't want to have to think about football or baseball or saying the Pledge of Allegiance or whatever you have to do to last longer in bed. You want to be able to enjoy it and be mentally there, which is what Roman swipes help you do. They help you last longer in bed, fellas. That's what you need to do.
Exactly. They're an effective, easy to use and fast acting wipe, but don't require a prescription, which is great. Roman ships these swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and they can just, you know, fit in your wallet. And girls, you want to carry them in your purse, kind of bring them out and just say, hey, let's try this. You never know what could happen. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. So go to GetRoman.com/dime, and you can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/dime. All right, Casey, let's get into some of our touchdown tea for this week, because this situation is unbelievable. I can't believe that something like this can happen in 2020 in the league and the technology that we have. We talked about Tyrod Taylor last week and we on Monday show, and we talked about how great Justin Herbert played and everything like that. But what we didn't know, which we now have come to find out, is that Tyrod Taylor actually had the chest pains and the chest problems, went to the hospital because the team doctor punctured his lung trying to administer, the pain meds to his chest because he had cracked ribs.
Yeah, so we talked about Justin Herbert Wally Pipping Tyrod Taylor, and at the time it was like, well, he had chest pains. We don't exactly know what it is. And now I feel badly for saying that. Now, he's still kind of low-key Wally Pipped Tyrod Taylor. But the fact that he went, first of all, that he was even going to play with a cracked rib. As somebody who has broken a rib before, you can't even breathe, let alone the idea of getting hit. I can't imagine. But the fact that the team doctor, whose sole job, you have one job, and that's to keep your players healthy and safe, punctured his lung because he was administering a shot? What are we doing here? How does that even happen?
I know. I don't understand. You know, I think that I was trying to read about it because, boy, do I have no idea what any of this stuff entails.
We're not doctors here.
We are not doctors. Not a clue. So I saw some people saying, you know, that administering shots like this, no matter what, there is a risk because you're literally putting a needle directly into your chest. You just hope that your team doctor doesn't make that mistake. And unfortunately, it happened. And I can't imagine now what the feeling is for the rest of the team, especially with that being their team doctor being like, well, shit, do we trust these guys? Like, do we want them? And it's also opening a conversation, too, about the administration of these drugs pregame. Like, I guess the only time you could do it is right before the game so that it actually lasts throughout the game. If you do it too early, then you risk playing with the drug wearing off, and all of a sudden you realize you're playing with cracked ribs.
First of all, if I'm on that team right now, no chance I'm going to see the medical staff. Like, I feel bad for everybody else that's on the staff that didn't have anything to do with said shot, because now they're lumped in. They're guilty by association. But call me crazy. If you are a professional athlete and you think you can play with a cracked rib, A, you're just a full-grown man, and B, you should be able to go in and say, I understand there's a risk for taking the shot or getting the shot, but you shouldn't have to worry about the fact that you could then be injured more by your doctor. That's just a crazy thought. I understand doctors are humans. People make mistakes. But the fact that Tyrod Taylor was even going to play with a cracked rib in general is something. And then the doctor just fucked it up for him. I mean, this guy, does he still have a job? I don't know. Anybody know? This is completely off just reading Twitter, which Twitter is not always correct. Yeah. I think this guy kind of has a reputation for stinking as a doctor, right?
That is very possible.
I think I saw one tweet. I'm using it as
one tweet as cold hard facts. That is Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. But it's tough because I would assume this is a total assumption. I would assume that Tyrod knows the risks getting that shot, and they kind of have to lay that out for him, like, hey man, this is a risk. But also, like you said, Casey, your doctor tells you the risks whenever you get something like that, and you trust your doctor not to have that happen. So here we are, and I just feel bad for him, man, because he's gotten these opportunities to be the starting quarterbacks of these teams, and somehow shit just goes wrong, or he is put on the bench. And now this is just totally out of his control. This
totally
was nothing he did himself. And he had this opportunity to lead this Chargers team, and that just kind of got taken away from him. So,
I know. It's just not his fault.
It really sucks.
It does. Yeah. And Justin Herbert played really well. And so there's the answer there. I am being told by Blattman and Katie that they have fired the doctor. Sources are saying that they have allegedly, we have to throw the allegedly in there. Yeah. Honestly, they probably should fire a team doctor who punctured their starting quarterback's lung. I don't know how long it takes to come back from a punctured lung. I don't think it's a very quick...
They're saying it's not career-threatening.
No, it's definitely not career-threatening. But in the time of coronavirus, in the time where we're talking about chest pains and lungs and hearts, like when you see chest... I immediately thought that he might have COVID when I saw that he had chest pains. No, his doctor just fucked up and punctured his lung. You can't do that.
No, definitely cannot. So, you know, prayers to Tyrod Taylor, because that just is so, like you said, freaky and unfortunate. And hopefully he'll come back healthy, because I really don't know what the rehab situation is for a punctured lung. Like,
no.
I think you just got to wait it out.
You got to ride it out. And in the meantime, Justin Herbert is going to keep playing well. They drafted him in the top 10, like we mentioned. They should have been playing him. But now I feel badly that I was celebrating the fact that Justin Herbert played well, because Tyrod Taylor, like, just bad luck. Just overall bad luck.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the second thing we want to talk about is a little off the field drama. Casey's ready to go off, I'm going to let her do that. I wholeheartedly agree with everything she is going to say. I don't even know what it is, but I already know I agree. Headlines this week were surrounding Jason Whitlock, who is now writing for OutKick, and he wrote two articles, one that started about Maria Taylor, and the second, well, one that was written about Maria Taylor, where he included a major ricochet shot at Katie Nolan for really no reason, to which Katie Nolan responded, which then led to him writing another scathing article about Katie Nolan that was just unbelievably uncalled for and ridiculous. And I'm gonna let Casey take it over, but I just want to say that the whole premise really of the first article he wrote about Maria Taylor was, I think she's really talented and can be something really special as long as she keeps her mouth shut and keeps her opinions to herself. It was pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, you paraphrase that perfectly. So two things I want to say before I go on this little rant. One, I appreciate the cosign before you've even heard what I have to say. Yep. That's true partnership there.
Trust.
And
trust,
two,
baby.
We're a very pro Maria Taylor podcast. I realize like only 3 weeks
sure
in
are.
This podcast and we're defending our girl.
Yep.
I know Maria personally. She's absolutely fantastic. So when I saw this article and saw what he was tweeting, first of all, Jason Whitlock is a buffoon. We know that. He's not known for giving out great takes. He's always got these hot takes that get clicks. And I know that this is what he wants. He wants to be talked about. He wants to be given a platform. He's made a career off of buffoonish takes. He just can't
right,
stay
this
anywhere.
This guy who's called LeBron James a bigot. So
yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely insane that people would even take him seriously, because you can't. My biggest problem with the first part, with the Maria Taylor article, was, and a little bit of background, is that she came out and owned it. She accidentally left Anthony Davis off of her NBA ballot. Doug Gottlieb.
Yep.
Came out and said, why does she have a vote? Well, no shit, Maria Taylor has a vote. She played basketball in college. She covers the NBA, and she's one of the best at what she does. But that's not what this is about.
Yep.
The fact that Jason Whitlock told Maria Taylor to not give her opinion while giving his opinion on her is the most hypocritical thing you can possibly do. And I honestly have no problem with people critiquing other media personalities, men or women. I'm not going to sit here and bang the feminist drum like, oh my God, you're a huge sexist. My problem is you're a huge sexist because you didn't even give your opinion on her job. You gave her your opinion on what she looks like. Is she supposed to apologize
being
for being
a
attractive?
Woman.
Right. So is she supposed to apologize for being an attractive woman? No, Jason Whitlock, you should apologize for being an unattractive sexist, because that is what you are. Then to take a ricochet shot at Katie Nolan for no reason, and I don't know Katie, I'm not going to give my opinion on Katie's job because it doesn't matter, but Katie had nothing to do with that. He just doesn't like Katie Nolan. Why? Because Katie Nolan has a job at a network that he couldn't stay at. So he's now jealous because an attractive woman has a job that he could not keep because he is a clown. So then to go to Katie Nolan and say she has hot white girl privilege, again, you're not giving your opinion on her job. You're giving opinion on you thinking she's hot. I have a problem with that, Jason Whitlock. You want to just come out and say that you want to have sex with both of them? Because that's what it sounds like to me. You're calling them attractive and then mad because somebody else finds them attractive. They should not have to apologize for that. You are a clown for saying that. And if you don't understand why people think you're sexist, you're also just a fucking idiot.
It's just completely ignoring everything. And, you know, they say, oh, well, women, you want to be treated equal. I would say the same thing about a guy. No, you wouldn't. You would not.
You would never come out and say that a man has his job because executives are horny for them, which is essentially what he said. He might have actually used those exact words. I mean, this quote is unbelievable. Beauty transformed Katie Nolan from bartender to seven-figure personality, Emmy Award winner, and the darling of aroused bloggers and TV critics willing to ignore her pedestrian humor and inability to execute live television. That is the single most jealous, insecure man quote I have ever heard. And like I said, I don't think that critiquing women in any form, in any industry, is necessarily sexist. Saying that their looks are the only reason that they have a job is quite literally the definition of sexist, because these two women that he's going after have their jobs because they're really good at them. Now, Katie Nolan has not panned out at ESPN the way people thought she would. You can absolutely say that. There was a bidding war between ESPN and Fox. She hasn't necessarily found her footing there. And that's okay to say, because that is a fact. She did not get her job because she's hot. She got her job because she's very funny. Maria Taylor is one of the best in the industry, not because she's hot, because she's really good at what she does. They just both also happen to be very attractive, and you should not have to apologize for that. You shouldn't.
I'm with you. I agree with you. I've always been a pretty big fan of Katie Nolan. I think she is hilarious. I've loved everything that she has done, and it's one of those things like where you hear that quote, pedestrian humor and inability to host a live show is what he had said, right?
Yeah, which, by the way, does he actually know that?
Look in the mirror, pal.
Hello, sir. Do you realize that
pedestrian humor and inability to host a live show? I mean, clearly, are you projecting? Because what are you doing?
Look in the mirror, sir, and also realize that you don't have your job because you're attractive. And if we're going to start throwing around the attractive scale, and this is where the hypocrisy comes in, because if you sit and you critique somebody's looks, on the flip side, if you say like, well, this guy is not attractive, then it's like, well, why are you talking about his looks? Well, that's all that happens in sports media, is talking about the way that women look. And if a woman is perceived as attractive, she's immediately not as good at her job, because she must only have that job because somebody is aroused. But by the way, Jason Luck, don't use the word aroused. It's fucking creepy. Don't use that. But even more ironically, he says that Katie Nolan has hot white privilege, when he just went after Maria Taylor with the same type of take, and she is a black woman. So it's like, Jason, what are you doing here? You're trying to draw strings that just don't exist. And whether you like Katie Nolan or Maria Taylor and you have an opinion on their job, that's fine. You cannot like those people for their job. Don't be mad at them because they're attractive women and they have boobs. I apologize for having boobs, but I mean, what are they supposed to do here? I just don't understand where he thought he was going to get off of this take. I know he just wanted to be talked about.
Yeah, and it ended exactly how he wanted to, right? You know, it got going viral, and
we're talking about it.
Salivating at how much attention he was getting over this, and that's just another aspect of this, right? Like, he is gaining all this attention for taking down two women and their looks and their careers, and they're
powerful women.
Terrible.
And
yep.
To add on to that, I think it's absolutely shameful that Clay Travis doubled down. And I have a relationship with Clay. I've known Clay for a long time. I respect what he's done in the industry. Obviously, since being at Barstool, we haven't stayed as close in communication, because Clay Travis versus Dave Portnoy is a very big thing. Well, I mean, Dave's just absolutely slaughtering him now, so it's not a thing anymore. But I legitimately thought that Clay would stand up for the fact, because he knows Katie Nolan, he knows Maria Taylor, he knows how good at their jobs they are, and he doubled down and stood behind Jason Whitlock. And that, to me, is even more shameful, because I think Clay Travis is incredibly smart. He knows exactly what he's doing. I know how smart Clay is. I don't think Jason Whitlock's smart. I think he's an idiot. Clay is smart. And the fact that Clay is now doubling down on that is way worse than the original statement, because you had an opportunity to come out and say, you know what, I don't agree with his opinion, but it is his opinion. You're allowed to have those. Instead, he's like, well, I mean, he's calling it how it is. It's like, no, he's not calling it how it is. Yeah. You're smarter than that, Clay. You are smarter than that. And it's shameful that you didn't stand up for the fact that you know he's incorrect.
He's doing it for his own business. It's clear as day, right? Like, he's doing that for his own business. He knows that the clicks are helping him. And so, yeah, he'll ignore what he knows about. He'll ignore what he knows is fact about these women and promote this article because of the attention it's getting and the attention it's getting for him as well. So it's despicable. I mean, I have no kind words for Clay Travis, so I'll just leave it at that. And it was true, because I did see people unearthing, you know, old tweets from Clay of him complimenting Katie Nolan and loving Katie Nolan and excited for what she's doing in her career. So, you know,
and like I said,
there's always receipts.
And Clay has been nothing but nice to me, and he helped me get into this industry years and years ago. So I've always had that respect for him. But I don't understand how you don't come out and say, I know these women personally, and they are not what you're saying they are. And I that just infuriates me, because I can guarantee you, behind the scenes, that comment would never happen. There's no way that these men are sitting behind closed doors and being like, you know what? Like, I actually don't think that they are good at their job, because they're both good at their job. That's just a fact.
Yep.
And here we are talking about it. So I understand it's getting them the attention, but I just, Clay Travis, you're smarter than this. You're smarter than this. I wish that this didn't happen. Jason Whitlock should not have a platform to be talking about women's looks in any form or fashion. Shut the fuck up for 2 seconds and just let women have their jobs. Is that okay? Can we move on, Jason? You're mad they're hot, and you're mad you're not. Let's move on.
Thank you for that, Casey.
Oh, that felt so good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm glad. I'm glad you got that off your chest.
I listened to diss tracks on my way to work today, and I realized I didn't need to go full-blown steam, because you know what would happen if I got mad and started yelling? Then it's like, well, irrational women again. They're at it again. Shrilling was the word?
Shrill.
Shrill. Yeah, I didn't want to do that. Shrill. So now I'm calm. I got it off my chest, and I'm just going to drink more of my cold brew.
All right, we're going to close the show with a little fantasy football talk. We're going to flip it around.
We're going to have some fun now, Fran.
We had you guys submit some of your funniest fantasy football team names. We're going to pick our favorites. Fantasy football has been pretty wild this year so far, just because of injuries. You know, not to make this about me, but I, you know, had Christian McCaffrey and Raheem Mostert going off on my team for 2 weeks, and that has sadly ended. And now I've got Deion Lewis and the Dolphins running back Gaskin starting on my team. So things have taken a terrible turn.
About yourself. Don't bury Myles Gaskin quite yet. Now, the fact he's on the Dolphins stinks for you. He's all right.
No, I absolutely. Look, I have all the faith in the world in him. I'm positive thinking, and we'll see what happens. But let's read those names.
By the way, we're going to go over 40. It's already happening.
Oh, crap.
Maybe, well, whatever. Read the names, Blattman.
All right, so this list was put together by myself, Katie, our lovely statistician, and Natalie, who does all our great graphics and social clips. We got hundreds. Literally hundreds of submissions. So these are the top 10 in no particular order that we decided on.
Okay.
First up, from Samantha, shout out to Sugar Hill Gang with this name, Odell Motel Holiday Inn, which I like a lot.
Oh, I love that little Chingy callback, maybe? The song, Holiday Inn.
Yeah, but wasn't that originally Sugar Hill Gang?
Yeah, but then Chingy also.
Whatever. All right. Next up, Jocelyn. Her team name is Ice Cold Brewskies, as in Teddy Brewskie, which was a nice little pun.
I like that. Also love Ice Cold Brews.
Yep.
And Cold Brews.
From ELC, her name on fantasy football team name is Country Roads Take Mahomes.
Oh, wow. That's a clever pun. I didn't know where you were going to go with Country Roads.
There was a lot of Mahomes puns, so there was a bunch of different ones to pick through.
That makes sense.
This one was very topical from Josh. His team name, Blue 42, COVID-19, Set Hut.
That's good. I like that. Go you go, Josh. You go.
Yep.
Sydney, her team name. This was a nice shout out to Fran. Bella Chicks in the Office.
Oh.
Also shout out Bill Belichick.
Okay. Also Bill Belichick.
That's a crowd favorite here. You got Chicks in the Office and the greatest coach of all time.
Sydney knew
what she was doing for sure.
Danielle, her fantasy team name is Dude, Where's Lamar? That one just made me giggle. I thought that was going to get a better reaction.
It also kind of took me a second, so I got it.
I got it. Yeah, I think this is more on Fran and I for being slow.
What are you going to do?
Was just a little delayed for me. Yes.
All right. Well, we'll do something more up your alley. This is from Haley. Her team name is Big Dicka Energy.
That's good.
I like it.
Big Dick Energy is a thing.
Yep. The dick puns from Peyton. Her team name is Saquon D's Nuts, as in Saquon.
D's nuts.
Suck on D's nuts.
No, I got it. Thank you. Thank you, Blattman, for mansplaining that one for me.
Yep. Next up from this one's actually my personal favorite because it's very dry and that's my sense of humor.
Mm-hmm,
this is from David. His team name is the Fantasy Football Team.
Oh, that's good.
Is this your own submission?
Nope.
Blattman,
no, it was pure coincidence. Okay. His name is David.
Just wanted to check that one out.
I can assure you.
I got my tinfoil cap on. This one's yours, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Like how you set it up like, oh, it's dry humor. That's my sense of humor. Oh, this is so great.
And coincidentally.
Also, it happens to be from the guy that's also David.
A lot of maybe it's just a David thing with that sense of humor, but
maybe so.
I digress. And our last one, this one was very cool. This is from Steph, who's in a fantasy league with all men. She's the only woman in the league. Her team name is Onside Chick.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
One. That's a good one.
So I guess now what we should do is, you guys wanted to pick like your three favorites maybe?
Yeah, I liked all of them.
I got them.
You got them? What are they?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I like Country Roads Take Mahomes. I'm going with that one. Blue 42 COVID-19. And I gotta play a little favorites here. I mean, Sydney with Belichick's in the office. That's gotta be my top one.
It would be a shame if you didn't, Fran. You gotta give her some love. I'm also gonna go Country Roads Take Mahomes. Blue 42 COVID-19 said Hut. That one got the biggest laugh out of me because I mean any COVID pun. If we can make fun of COVID, I'm in. And then Odell Motel Holiday Inn. I mean that Samantha, that's my favorite for sure.
That's great.
And I'm just going to listen to every song now that talks about Holiday Inn for the rest of the day. Shout out Chingy.
Shout out Sugar Hill Gang.
Also Chingy. Yeah. I got so many people DMing me too, and I just couldn't even keep up with the fantasy football names. If you make a clever pun in a fantasy football name, you should just ride with that name forever, and because I feel like it's just always going to play. It's always going to hit. Like I just feel like if you are good at making a fantasy football name, you should just put that on your resume as a good skill because I stink at it.
I, too, struggle with it every year. And then I see we got so many and so many sent and so many like DM to us, too, that I was looking through. And people are funny. People are very funny. And I wish, like you said, I had that skill. All right, to close, because, boy, are we at week 3 and we are crushing our
yeah, we're over 40.
Yep, okay. Well, guess what? This is going to be super quick. Thursday Night Football.
Should I start the two-minute clock for this?
2 minute clock.
Yeah, start it and then end it because that's all.
All right, here we go. Ready? Here comes the clock. Ready? Go.
Okay, Thursday Night Football is the Dolphins at the Jacksonville Jaguars. A little Florida matchup here. And I don't, you know, that's really all there is to say. I like watching Minshew, but that's about it for me.
Minshew mania. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic. That's all we got on this trash Thursday night football game.
Yep. I'm going to pick the Jags. That's all I got to say.
I'm going
to
pick the Jags as well. Minshew mania. How many times can we say that in 2 minutes, you think?
Well, you got a minute 22 left.
Yeah,
so.
Stop the clock.
All right, stop the clock. That's all we got to say. That's all there is. And you know what? I think that is finally a wrap on our week 3 preview episode. Once again, apologies for going a little bit over than what we had planned, but that's probably going to happen more often than not. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Casey. Shout out Roman. Remember to go to getroman.com/dime to get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. And we'll see you guys all on Monday. I'll show you.